join together in prayer. Merciful and loving God, we thank you again that you have given us this opportunity to search the scripture, to be strengthened by the word, and Lord, again, to find our place here and welcome. We bless you because we recognize that you are the God of everything. And God, your plans for us are wonderful. So God, again, we pray that we would be enlightened and be strengthened. And we pray, God, that we would hear what you are saying to the church. Please, God, again, forgive us of our sins and have mercy upon us, we do pray, recognizing that you are a God of forgiveness and love and compassion. We pray, God, that we would remember to have the same for our brothers and sisters. And we pray, God, that as we join together in this place, that we will remember that our primary purpose is to lift up and magnify your name. We will remember, Lord, that the joy of our salvation is that which we need each and every day. And let us remember, Lord, as we have traveled, to invite others to travel along with us. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Let's start by asking, thank you, Dr. Dixon, and all of your efforts and your labors are not in vain. We do appreciate you taking care of the people of God. Amen. Let's ask a question. What would you say? And you know how we do. There's no wrong answer, but I just want to kind of see what you got to say. What would you say would be a good test of spiritual salvation? How can we say if we had to? How many of you have ever sat on an interview panel? Any of y'all ever sat on one of those? Okay, so you get to kind of judge people and make some assessments. So let's say we had to have an interview panel, and all of you who raised your hands are my primary panel participants. How would you, you know how we do in the panel, everybody get together and say, okay, what do you think? So what would you say would be a good indicator of one's salvation, spiritual salvation? What would you say would be a good indicator that the person we just interviewed, if we had to interview everybody as they came along and say, we're trying to find a saved church. We want to have a saved church. We want a church with no unsaved folk, and we want a church where everybody's got spiritual salvation. What would you say would be a good test? I saw about six hands. What would you say would be a good test? Okay. Yeah. Okay, but what would you use as a indicator that they got it? What would you say? Okay, that's a good one. Just ask them. No, they don't lie. Church folk don't never lie. No. Yeah, Brother Butterfield. Character, good one. Okay. Okay. That's going to be a long interview right there, baby. Oh, I got you, though. I understand. Yes, sir. Character's good, though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Good word, salvation. That's a key part of it. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah. That's a good one too. That's another good one. Yeah. Yeah. Another one. They stole yours. They stole both of yours. Isn't that funny how when you sit in the room, eventually they start. You know what? My answer to my soldiers for that one was, you should have went first. Deacon Richford. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, and those are good. Let me tell you why we asked that question. Because, you know, we've been doing this series for quite some time. There has to be, and we've said this over and over again, there has to be some evidence somewhere that we're growing. And that we are the elect of God, not only because he says so, but because we choose to be so. Now, listen, I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again. There are a lot of things that God says about you that you've got to live up to. God calls you chosen, you got to live chosen. God calls you elect, you got to live elect. God tells you you're powerful. You know, there's just so many things. So somewhere along the line, in this whole process of Christian development, we need to be able to say, yeah, 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 yeah. So one of the things, and I want you to remember this, one of the things that I think we can, in all of your answers, again, thank you, character, trust, life, all that good stuff. One of the things I think that we ought to look for and we can readily identify without a lot of complication is fruit. One of the easiest tests that we can look for, and it doesn't mean we have to be judgmental. Now, do know this, and I think I've explained this to you before. You have been given by the authority of God the right to judge. But he says, mind how you do it. That's how we keep each other in check. You do it all the time. Whenever you correct your sister or your husband or your neighbor or character, when you say, now, bro, that ain't like you, that's judgment. You're saying, well, yeah, wait a minute, that's not the kind of person you are. When we look at a thing and want to change it or adjust it, it's based on judgment. You look at something and say, oh, that don't look right. That's judgment. So we have the authority of God to do that. But he says, mindful, be mindful how you do it. And he also tells you, if you're going to judge others, be ready to get judged yourself. Okay? So we have to look at that. So fruit is easy. And one of the reasons it's easy is because we can identify so many areas of fruitfulness that doesn't take a whole lot of complication. And I'll tell you this, and I've said this to you a few weeks ago, and I know you remember. You can't lead anybody where you haven't been. You can try to get there together, but you're not leading. And if you're trying to do it together, nobody's leading. We're just, as the Bible says, we're just going along together. And the Bible says what? Two can't walk together unless they agree. So if we're trying to get to the same place, the reason why, you all right, bro? Okay. The reason why we are disciples in Greater Brookville is because we have consented to walk together based on the vision, the ministry, the mission. And so in that light, we can help each other. But we also need to be checking each other out. Those of you who work on jobs, and you know that you have an assignment and your coworker has an assignment. But if everybody don't do their job, you know, people start saying, wait a minute now. You've been here as long as I have. You ever had that happen? Somebody's been there as long as you have and still act like they don't know nothing. You say, wait a minute, you've been here as long as I have. You don't know how to. Ain't no fruit there. And you know what's going to happen to that employee, don't you? They're going to be unemployed, at least not with that company any further. So one of the things, one of the easiest tests we can do is look at fruit. Now, when we talk about fruit, we can talk about a lot of things. One thing that we can definitely talk about is character. We can talk about trust. We can talk about how we handle life. How many of you ever heard somebody say, now, a Christian wouldn't do that? Or how about this one? A Christian ought to do. So we have to look at it. So when we start asking ourselves about first our own life, because remember, you got to deal with the stuff in your own eyes before you start trying to help other folk clear up their eyes. And remember, the stuff in your eyes is always bigger than the stuff in somebody else's eye. Okay? So we want to look at it. Now, there are four things we want to look at. One, we want to look at Christian character. We want to look at conduct. We want to look at our community, which doesn't necessarily mean outside, but it's the people we hang around. That's your community. And then we want to look at our ministry. Every one of us have been called by God to ministry. Write those down because you're going to have to remember. You got to look at that character. You got to look at the conduct. How do we act? How do we go about our business? Again, God is watching. God is watching. You got to look at, again, the community. The Bible tells us how to define community, or at least how to manage community, by saying be separate and come out from among those who ain't like us. Shouldn't be part of our community. You shouldn't have downtown friends and uptown friends in the body of Christ, because that's going to be a distraction. That's going to become something that's detrimental to your growing. If you keep going back to the same thing, you're not going to grow. So you're going to have to make some separations, which are biblical principles. People say, oh, you're trying to be funny since you've been in the church. No, you're not trying to be funny. I'm trying to grow. So we got to look at the community. Then we got to look at the ministry to others. And what we want to look at is how that glorifies God. There are a lot of things that we do, not you all necessarily, you all are the better people, but there are a lot of things that people do sometimes just to get glory for themselves. You know, I helped you, I did this, I did that, but that doesn't glorify God. So what we want to be able to say is, does our ministry get glory for God? We don't need to be called up front every time we do something. But we want to recognize Sister X-Ray because she done, again, she fed the hungry. We want to recognize Brother John because, again, he helped so-and-so. No, 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 no. How does God get glory if you keep getting all of it? And God doesn't deserve leftover glory. He deserves first fruit glory. Bible says, let your well-doing be done in secret. That's paraphrased a little bit, but you know what it says. Whatever you're going to do, you don't have to make no boast about it. The Lord himself said that. He said, listen, if you do that, whatever you've gotten from men, that's it. It's over. You're stealing the opportunity for God to get glory. Y'all didn't call my name. Well, you know your name. You call it. You want a certificate? Go buy you one. You need a trophy? They'll sell them to you too. Fill your house with trophies. I had a friend of mine like that. He had all these trophies. I said, man, where you get all these trophies from? And he bragged and boasted about he had done this and he'd done that. His wife looked at me. I said, well, where did he get all this? She said, Bruce bought all them trophies himself. Put different dates on them and everything. I said, no. She said, Bruce ain't done half of that stuff. I said, okay. But I never let on to old Bruce. Because if he listened to our podcast, he'll know now that we figured him out. There's some things we need to be doing. As a part of being, and this is what we need, and this is where we're going. We need to recognize there are a lot of really wonderful things that you can do as a Christian that are not necessarily what a Christian ought to be doing to get God the glory. One of the things all of us need to be doing is right there, actively seeking and bring. We need to be winning souls. Write that down. We need to be winning souls. I have talked about this for 17 years, and how in the world are we going to grow this church if you all don't go out and win souls? I can't do it by myself. It's too much, way too much. I don't know that many people. And most of the people I meet lie to me first time they see me. As soon as they know I'm a preacher, they change. I've had people change on me midstream. As soon as they find out I'm a preacher, their whole conversation changes. Their whole disposition changes. But I mean, so it doesn't matter. So I can't win souls by myself, because everybody's going to pretend when I come around. But you have an opportunity because you are a first line of reality in most people's lives. And what I mean by that is Jasmine knows Raven and Raven knows Jasmine better than any of us. And whoever we encounter, they pretty much meet us right here. You know, right there at the base level. And how we encounter people has a lot to do with character. It has a lot to do with whether or not we really understand our calling. Remember, we've talked for a long time about purpose. And I tell you all the time, when you get up in the morning as you go through life, you ought to be asking God, Lord, what am I really supposed to be doing today? Why am I here? You know, how come I went this way instead of that way? You know, why did that guy walk up to me? Why is that lady staring at me? Those are ministry opportunities. And when we look at our lives, we want to constantly be asking ourselves, am I making fruit? You know, you don't want to have a wasted day. I told you a long time ago, celebrate every day by being able at the end of the day to do an evaluation of your own life. Man, what did I do today worth anything? And I mean, every now and then we blow off a day, don't we? Amen. We blow off a day. We'll say, man, whatever. And that's fine. That's really fine. But again, part of my ministry to glorify God can't be neglected. So I got to win souls. I need to make sure that when I'm on the road, I am observant to everything around me. Those of you who drive an automobile know if you take your eyes off of what's in front of you, you can get in trouble. But you also got to notice what's coming up behind you. Have you ever been at a traffic light and looked back and said, I hope this guy don't run into me? You know, they're coming too fast, and you get ready to go. You say, you know what, this could go bad. And then as you're traveling, you got side mirrors. Those of us who've been around a long time, like Deacon Davis, Darlin, and Anderson and myself, we remember when cars only had a left-hand mirror. They didn't have a right-hand mirror. You know, because basically what they were saying at General Motors and Ford is all you need to worry about is what's on the inside. But then they start thinking, wait a minute, a whole lot of collisions were happening because we were drifting over. That's why those of us who got our driver's license for real from a real DMV know that you keep right except to pass. That's why they only put the mirror on the left side, because if you're in the right lane, nothing should ever be passing you over here. You keep right except to pass. Well, then over time, they realized that people wasn't doing that. How many of you ever drove down the interstate and you got some knucklehead won't get out the left-hand lane, and you're thinking to yourself, come on, keep right except to pass. They don't know that. So they put a mirror on the other side. Why? So you can watch all sides. Part of our winning souls is that we got to look at all sides. The second thing we want to look at, write that one down, you got it. The second thing is we want to keep growing in holiness our whole life. I don't care if you're 75 or 80 or 25 or 15. You're going to be growing. At least it should be your intention to grow in holiness your whole life. Do me a favor and look around and tell at least three people, you ain't there yet. Don't be scared of them. Thank you. Don't be scared of them. Tell them, every one of them, from the youngest to the eldest, you aren't there yet. Miss Woodson's not there yet. Vic is not there yet. Dr. Dixon's not there. I don't care how much you praise, pray, prance, promote. You ain't there yet. You got to keep growing in holiness your whole life. I heard somebody, Pastor, you ain't there yet. I agree with you. That's fine. I don't have a problem with it. I appreciate you reminding me. But next time, not so loud. We got to keep the whole. Listen. When you think you're there, you become of no effect to the kingdom. You're perfect. Which means now you're looking down on the rest of us. And you want us to be looking up at you. No, no. We all dirt saved by the grace of God. And we got to spend the rest of our lives grow. I mean, listen, find reasons to grow. Remember what we said some weeks ago. Examine yourselves. Say, you know, I can do better with that. Our whole life is not just Sunday morning. We can get through this thing if we want to. That's fine. But there's more to what we are than 9:30 and about 1 o'clock. You know, we kind of condense it. That's about as much time we spend. Some of us don't see each other other than then. And again, we can come in and we can have a little character while we're sitting here. You know, we sit a certain way in church and do a certain thing in church. But the reality is, I need to look at myself. You know why? Because other people are looking at you. And the best way to keep from having a fault discovered publicly is to be dealt with privately. I was getting dressed this morning just as a matter of observation. Got ready to put my, as old folks say, my britches on. I looked and I said, Lord, my seam coming apart. Now, I'd have put those britches on and been up here preaching or something. Somebody would have said, Lord, the reverend is unaware. I just happened to look. I said, now, ain't that some tailor-made suit? Because, it, you know, threads wear out every time. So I said, man, that's a good thing I looked down as I was putting my legs in, because sometimes we go on automatic. We don't even look. We just get. I said, now, who would have had the nerve to go, excuse me, Pastor? Y'all would have left me. No, you'd have told. Thank you. You're so kind. You're a blessing. Amen. Please write me a note, though. Don't raise your hand. You'd have done like. Now, it was, yeah, you know. And so the reality is we got to keep growing. And to do that, you got to look at yourself. And if there is no fruit, that's your fault. Let me tell you something. You are not going to get to the throne of grace and blame me. Pastor Mitchell did. No, God ain't going to hear that stuff. People blame preachers all over the world for every ill in Christianity. It's them preachers' fault. They stealing, they womanizing, they drinking. No, no, no. Listen. You must give an account for your life. You're not going to be able to say, well, anyone know? I couldn't find no good pastor. There's some good pastors. But you know what makes good pastors? Good people. Yeah, you can hold your pastor accountable and say, look, pastor, we really have high expectations for you, and we want to help you because you got to help us. You do know when we help each other. How many of y'all ever gone on one of those retreats with your company or something like that where you had to do that team effort thing? You been on? Those are cool, really. We've been thinking about trying to do one for us. You know, we've been talking about it, and we keep running into some what-ifs that we got to address before we go. We got to get the what-ifs out the way before we go and then this goes bad. So we're going to have to fix the what-ifs. Because we have a diverse leadership team. We got some young people and we got some older people. And we say, man, these older saints ain't going to want to do this part. And so the effort is you got to get everybody to do everything. So we're trying to find one where maybe we can just play bid whist the whole time. I think everybody might be able to pull that one off. But that climbing rope and all that, we don't have to fix that part. The third piece that we want to do is we're going to have to learn how to share, and this is critical, our spiritual and material possessions. Now, write that down because that's important. We're going to have to learn how to do that. Care ye one for another. That's both spiritual and material. How many of y'all ever see those commercials where they soliciting funds for the poor dogs and the cats? And I always say to myself, now, you know, they'll do all that for an animal. But we got people who are hungry. Not that there aren't agencies and things like that. But my point is, that's what we need to be doing in the church. You know, I gave you a saying years ago, and some of you weren't here when I said it. But it was an old saying. I didn't make it up. I saw it on a thing. It says, if we'll go into a ditch for a can, how far should we go for a man? And that's when recycling was a big thing. You know, people. You ever seen people who recycle? They go down in the ditch. They don't care where they go to get that can. And then they go over to the recycling. It's not as big as it used to be, aluminum. My uncle, Buddy, was a big-time recycler. He would fill up the back of his pickup truck with bags and bags and bags of cans and come back with $6. I mean, recycling really don't pay a lot of money. I'm sure he probably had more than $6. But, I mean, at least that's what he told my aunt he had, $6. But, I mean, my point is, you know, we have to share this. This is, your life is a mirror, but it's also a light. It's a mirror, but it's also a light. And our material life is indeed blessed. I mean, we look at what we drive and where we live and what we wear and all. And there's nothing wrong with none of that stuff. I've always told you that. There's nothing wrong with God blessing us materially, and we living a life that demonstrates that. But when you die, that stuff stays. But your spiritual life is going to get you in or going to cause you to be left out. But we need to share our testimonies, our ministry efforts. Goes back to the first thing. Again, our ministry efforts, how we do that to glorify God is part of sharing our spiritual life. And let me tell you something. If you don't have anything spiritual to share, that's your fault. Because we've been trying to give it to you. And again, it's not about preaching the gospel. We don't need everybody trying to get a license to preach the gospel. You can just live your life and God will be glorified. And whatever you speech and whatever you sing and whatever you, then that be fine. But you don't need to stand up in the pulpit because that's only about 30 minutes out of your life for a period of time. Our ministry efforts are more than we imagine. Yeah. So it's got to be part of sharing that. And then the other thing we want to be able to do is to truly understand what is spiritual character. We've been talking about it for a long time, but we need to understand what that really is. And it is not just going to church on Sunday. It is not just singing in the choir. It's not just being identified as minister so-and-so. There's a lot of work to be done in building spiritual character. And what that means is that you have to make an effort every day to keep growing, honestly assessing, honestly adjusting, honestly remedying the faults in your own life. Stop just looking for what's wrong with everybody else. So if my spiritual character is going to change, it has a lot to do with the understanding I have as it relates to the word, as it relates to people, as it relates to community. I am not greater than my brother or my sister. God is no respecter of person. One of the most humbling verses in all the Bible is that he is no respecter of person. All of us are wonderful to God. And because you have a title or something, that doesn't necessarily make you greater. It may indeed apply to whom much is given, much is required. When God gives you a lot, then you got to do a lot more. Amen. Don't be slothful. So he says, all right, let's make sure that we have a true understanding of what that means. So then we look at, I think we're number five now, good works. What does good works mean? Well, again, it goes back to part of what we're talking about in the body of Christ and building. It means that we are indeed glorifying God in ministry. In ministry. How can we bless God today? There are waves. Minister White's been in the church a long time, out at Dixon, and many of you. There are waves. You know, you call it, used to be a time you call somebody and just go, you know, hello, man, you know, so and so. And now they got, you know, somebody call and say, Abyssinia Baptist Church, how can I help you? And you may call another church, Good Shepherd Baptist Church, how may I bless you today? We're always offering ourselves, it seems. And then if you ask them something, they say, no, we can't do that. So what are we doing in good works? How do we bless God in how we live? You know, we have a food ministry here. We do clothing and a couple of other little things here and there. You know, it's HIV time and awareness, National Week of Prayer. So that's what these fancy banners, you know, we look at that kind of stuff. You know, we believe in all of those wonderful things. But there are a lot of things that we can do as individuals that make us a stronger church. And nobody may even know you do it. But it's good works unto God. And part of what you have to understand and what you must understand is God expects you to do it. Amen. Some of us have done things. We give a ride. We help a neighbor. As I was saying, got these two uncles that have passed. I've seen so much fried chicken in the last few days coming in and out of houses. I've seen people buy the cheap sodas, and I've seen people buy the name brand sodas, and I've seen people, so people are doing that, you know, and after a while, you know, that's going to fade. I was telling my wife when I got back, you know, and I left, I was going to try to hang around. I don't know what happened. My family, somebody bumped their head down there. My uncle, who's 92, he died last Tuesday. They're going to bury him today. And he'd been dead a while. And then my uncle who died, what was that, Tuesday again? Yeah. Tuesday's been bad for my family. Just realized that. They're going to bury him Friday. I said, be seeing y'all. We was hoping you would stay to do, no, can't do nothing. I can mail it in if y'all want to play. Hit play. I said, and you know, they all got money. I don't know what they're doing. Said, oh, you got to wait for so-and-so. I said, listen. Stage coaches don't run no more. You can be anywhere in the world in about 4 hours if you go buy an airline ticket. Well, Bubba can't afford no plane ticket. He going to have to get his car at the shop. And I said, rent a car. You know, I'm too practical for them. But anyway, you know, so when we look at things, you know, after a while, people going to stop bringing food over there and all that kind of stuff. And what happens is, we go back to reality. Well, let me tell you something. Part of our doing good works must be done based on realities, not show. Because you can't keep it up. How many of them have been told that? You know, don't stop something you can't finish. And finish ain't always where you want to stop at. How many of you have ever had somebody push you past your finish point because they're not at their finish point? And you say to yourself, I should have never. Ooh, Father. That's reality. That's why you got to try the spirits by the spirits. And then the other thing we want to look at is how we praise our God. That's critical.
how we praise our God. How many of you can tell or at least make a good estimation of when people are in love or have a good relationship? You can kind of see it. You know, say, oh, look at that. Y'all ever seen them little cute couples and the little cute babies and the family? And you say, oh, look at that. That is so nice. We got a family poster, I think, on the outside back there. But, I mean, we see, and say, oh. And you see little babies and you say to yourself, little do they know, they grow up and turn into real people. Yeah. And we do that with babies and families. And we look at it and say, oh. And the reality is, for all of us, the reality is that we need to learn how to praise God so that it's so obvious and people go, wow. Even how you praise God matters. All the time. You know, we've done swings and we've done adjustments. You know, we've tried different ways of going into worship. You know, we tried this and we tried that and we tried doing this and doing, and I guess it's part of church adjustments, if you will. You know, we catch a little groove and say, okay, let's try this and let's try that. But the reality is, it starts with you. No matter what song we play, no matter what, you know, it doesn't matter if we dim the lights or turn the lights on, whether we run this or run that, you got to praise God. And you don't have to wait for folk. You know, we are sometimes too congregational, in my opinion, about praising God. You know, we're waiting on somebody to say, come on, let's give. And then we do it for a minute. And then we, and it's kind of, it, you know, I guess if we looked at our worship service on a graph, it would go, woo. You know, the lows are low. See, this is the low. Everybody just went. And the highs are high, you know. We all, and so even how we praise God speaks to our fruit. It speaks to our character. It speaks to how we love God. So we want to be able to at least recognize several of these pieces. So let's go and look at number one. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and see if we can work on part of winning souls. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Remember this verse. This is a good refrigerator verse. And we're in the march now. Remember, we were fired up at watch night talking about what we're going to be and how we're going to be. So this is a good one. Romans 1, chapter 1, and verse 16. Notice what he says. He said, listen, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Don't ever forget that. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 works. You must not be ashamed of that good news. You must be God's best advertisement. If we're going to grow a church, it's going to come because we all understand Romans 1, verse 16. All of us. Not just the ministers, not just the trustees, not just the deacons, but all of us understand that we are transporters or deliverers or vessels of good news that we're not ashamed of. Because it has the ability, it is built into the Word of God that if you put this out there, it's going to make fruit. How do you know that? Because the Lord said that. He said, my word is going to do just what I set it out to do. I would that no man would perish. I want everybody to come to salvation. That's the will of God concerning everybody. Listen, you did not come to salvation because you're so wonderful. It was the word. It was the word then. It'll be the word forever. Paul tells the church, notice, early on, early letter to Rome, he said, listen, I'm not ashamed of this. I'm happy. I'm proud of the fact that I got some good news. He said, in this word that I'm going to preach to you for the rest of my life, remember, one of our midpoints is to be growing in holiness for the rest of our life. He said, I know it will save everyone once we convince them. They believe. Now, we got to be convincing. Remember, we said it earlier. that one of the things we're looking for is some kind of evidence. How many of you ever had somebody try to sell you something that you say to yourself, you don't even use that yourself, do you? You don't even know. You ever gone to like a dealership and get ready to test drive a car and the salesman don't know nothing about the car? He said, well, what does this do? I'm not really sure what that. Well, what if it ejects the passenger? What if I push the button and they don't know anything? Or you've had somebody try to sell you a vacuum cleaner, or you're going to, what's that? Best Buy. Best Buy had what they call the blue shirts. They're supposed to know everything. And you know, you go in there and say, well, what's the difference between a plasma TV and an LCD? If you look at the picture, you know, what's the difference? Why should I pay this much versus, and they have no clue. Or you ask somebody about a blender or mixer. I mean, something they say. So in the body of Christ, we can't afford that. We got to be convincing. Why should I be saved? Well, let me tell you about my own experience. And let me tell you something. That's all God wants you to do. You don't have to try to read from Genesis to Revelation. You're the story. I was convinced. Well, what convinced you? Well, I kept going to Bible study. And I realized some things. I watched my life change. Oh, it wasn't easy. And you can tell them, I'm still growing. One of the biggest faults that we have as a Christian church, and not y'all because y'all are the most wonderful people, but I've seen it, is that church folk act like they're already there. And people know they're not there, and they say that's why they call us hypocrites. Church full of hypocrites. I know that dude right there, man. And he tried to get around me and try to act all like that. I know, but and the reality is, they already know. So what we must say, what we must do, is be honest. Say, listen, man, I'm in the fight of my life, but I ain't gonna quit. I'm gonna keep trying. You know, I said that a couple of weeks ago in the midst of the sermon when we talking about I know what's wrong, but I don't know how to make it right. I gotta keep trying. Paul said, I realize even right now that I am in the fight of my life. He said, I would love to be a much better guy. He said, the stuff I want to do, I don't do. The stuff I don't want to do, I do. But I'm going to keep trying. That's our testimony. That's why Romans verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16, what? It's the power of God to them that, but I just believe I can be better. You know, everything we do starts with a simple belief principle that goes oftentimes unspoken. Most of what you have accomplished in your life, if not everything, and I'll leave it to your own discretion, started with you simply believing that you could. I know people that won't get on an airplane because they're scared to fly. It's simply because they believe that the plane, just because they, I mean, it's crazy. And you say, are you serious? You know how many planes fly every day? And they'll say something like, you don't take but one. And they're right. So you have to say, well, but what makes you think? Trust me, you know, like I know, if I get on, you don't want to get on. So that's convincing enough to me. Okay, we'll fly a different plane. But the reality, just like driving, I know people who have never driven. They say, you riding in a car. I know, but I ain't going to drive. There are people who have done things because they simply don't have that first level of initiative to believe. Same thing is happening with the Christian church. Most people that we are not making contact with need for us to be that initial to believe. Say, look at me. Peter and John did it. Look on us. So he said, I'm not ashamed of that. And again, if you're a closet Christian, you're not much of a Christian at all. If everybody in your circle, remember we talked about it again, your community that we called it. If everybody in your community doesn't know that you're a Christian, don't worry about your title yet. They may discover later, they may not even know what a trustee is. You go and tell somebody you're a trustee, they don't know what a trustee is. So that's not the issue for them. But if they don't know you're a Christian, something wrong with that, isn't it? If they know where you work, where you live, what you drive, how many children you have, and they don't know you're a Christian, you're missing Romans 16. You're ashamed, aren't you? Must be. How many of you have done things you're ashamed of and didn't tell nobody? Okay. Yeah. You're like, no, they can't find that out. You know, there's an old saying that if every person who knew you knew everything about you, would they still want to know you? And that's the reality. I mean, look, Jasmine and Raven live together. You think your sister knows everything about you? No, you make sure, don't you? Ain't you something? Well done. Carry on. I mean, married people do it. How long y'all been married? Don't look at him. I'm talking to you. Do you think he know everything about you? Do you want him to know everything about you? Absolutely not. Nobody does. Sister McKenzie, how long you been married to Deacon McKenzie? Do you know everything about him? Does he know everything about you? Would you like him to know? Write him a letter and tell it all. He better write one back, huh? Nobody does. And the reality is, he says, listen, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So he's saying, I want people to know this. Why? It helped me. And it can win people. If every Christian took Romans 1:16 and ran with it, we would fill this church up in short order. That's our responsibility. Part of our character is to reflect the image of Christ. Reflecting the image of Christ means grow his church. That's what he said I came to do. For this cause I came into the world. See, the church can't lose focus on that. We can't spend the rest of our life clapping our hands and patting our feet and on our way to heaven and not make sure that we're winning souls. Jesus could have stayed in heaven for all that matters. He could have dispatched salvation. Just like the Jewish community thought to themselves, well, we know Moses, we know Elijah. What else do we need to know? Jesus said, you're missing the point. Lest you know me. You're not coming into the kingdom. What does the Bible tell us? There is no way into the kingdom of heaven except through Christ. So that's our message. And we know it works. I was listening to a guy the other day. He said, the whole world is getting excited about Resurrection Sunday. And I thought to myself, no, they're not. The whole world ain't excited about Christ. We got work to do. And it's coming. In a few weeks, we're going to be talking about rabbits and chocolate and all that stuff. And I always say it again, I am not telling you not to enjoy whatever you want to do commercially, but let's not miss the spiritual point here. You know, I don't do Christmas presents. I don't do all that kind of stuff. You know, my wife and I, she'll tell you I don't do Valentine's Day. That's just commercial stuff. I mean, I love her. I love her every day. But I am not getting sucked into buying no roses that's $69 this week and was $19 last week. I'll say something nice, and she'll tell you that's just how it is. I don't like commercial stuff. I really don't. And I'm cheap because I'm not. Anybody who knows me knows I'm not cheap. I just don't like it. So rather than to change my modus operandi, I stick with what I believe. So I don't do Easter bunnies. I don't do rabbits. I don't do Christmas thing. You know, I don't put lights up and all that stuff. It's just not going to happen for me. But I'll tell you this. I believe in the power of Christ and salvation. So if anything I can get first out of Christ, then you can have the rest of it. Our responsibility as Christians is to preach Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, and now sitting at the throne of God. That's four simple things you got to say. It's the power of the gospel. It can win souls. We are not supposed to be trying to win folk because we got a big church. Because we got a bad choir. Not bad, like you know, good choir. Oh man, y'all got to come here. No. They crucified him. They buried him. He got up. He lived. Telling you, I believe it, y'all. And so when we look at how we go about character, we are in Christ, Christ in us. We are one. My Father and I want to be one. That's who you are. Yeah, we got boys and girls and young and old. Fine. But he said, listen, to determine true salvation, there's got to be fruit. And in order to have fruit, we got to build off our character. We got to look at our conduct. We got to look at our community. We got to look at the ministry. And what we're looking at starts right there in Romans 1:16. Are we winning? So somebody won you. How many of y'all remember the person that won you to Christ? Amen. Some of us remember. Some of us, you know, some of us were kind of like just like in a flood. We just got caught up in a sweep and can't remember exactly who, but somebody did. You know, an old saying down south is, I heard the gospel preached, realized I was a sinner. Not everybody came that way. You know, that's what we were told to say, and it sounded pretty good. The reality is, there was a whole lot of Sundays we sit back there eating M&Ms and writing notes. And mama did like this, and we said, oh, God. Wasn't all gospel for us then. It was, I got to go home with that lady right there. And she said, you better come up there Sunday. And we went. That wasn't winning us to Christ. That was survival. That's all that was. That was just survival. I tell you what, when the pastor come up there this Sunday, you better be up there. Yes, ma'am. What'd you come up here for? My mama told me that this was the day the Lord had made. And if I want to live, I'll be up here. You know, so it happens to be a matter of what we do next. And again, when people come in our doors, not everybody who comes through that door is in Christ Jesus, as much as they may be in this building. So we have an opportunity. And then when we go out from this place, our responsibility is to keep looking at how we win souls. Again, if you don't do that, the church ain't going to grow. In the spring, I'm going to kind of run a little bit of church growth series. I'm going to try to, I hate doing series preaching. Well, I don't hate it. It confines me because I'm a free thinker. But I think it's time. We're going to have to do it because I keep looking around saying something's wrong. Something's not happening, and I got to figure out what to do. So we're going to try to do a church growth series and say, here's what we need to be. Here's how we're going to do it. And we'll preach it and preach it and preach it, and we'll see what happens then. But the reality is, if we don't understand Romans 1:16, we're already lost. Everybody. Some of us, this might be the first time we ever looked at Romans 1:16. That's just honest. I mean, as much as we read through the Bible in a year, and I've always said, don't get into those step programs like that, because it's not really the most beneficial way to read the Word of God. Read it every day, but don't say, okay, I'm supposed to read three chapters, because what you start doing is start finish. Okay, got that done. It's not necessarily nutritional. I only eat when I'm hungry. Y'all missed it. Yeah. I know they say eat three meals a day. They say that's healthy. I know that. I've done the fitness program. I know that really works. But I only eat when I'm hungry. And then it's enjoyable to me. And I eat what I like. So if I don't want to read Jeremiah, because the program said read Jeremiah, maybe I need to go over here in Romans, or maybe I need to go to Thessalonians. And so I like to eat and enjoy. So when I get to the Word of God, there are things I read over and over. It ain't like we don't eat cold chicken. There's a lot of things I read over and over again because it feeds me again and again and again. God is not going to condemn me because I didn't read the whole Bible six times in my lifetime. So he said, you know, you got to make sure that what we're doing is life beneficial, and we can use what we have to win others. He said, this is the power at work. What does that mean? We got to do it. Okay? Don't sit around saying negative things about growth church and winning souls and ministry when you're not working. Nehemiah said it best. He said, listen, we got to all do this thing together. Everybody's got to work in their station. And some of us are better at talking to people. Some of us are better at just standing around witnessing. I mean, you know, and our presence means something. You know, that's why we have spokespersons. And then the rest of us stand there and just nod. Sometimes you can just be a good nodder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what he's saying. So he says, all right, we got to make sure that we're doing it. And then let's look at what we talked about in growing for the rest of our lives. Let's go to Romans 6. Again, our first point was winning souls. Second thing is we got to be growing in holiness the rest of our lives. All of us. It doesn't matter if you become the pastor, the elder, the bishop, the deacon, the trustee, the choir. It doesn't matter. For the rest of your life, you got to make sure that you're hitting your check marks and that you can say, I'm growing for the rest of my life in holiness for the rest of my life. Doesn't matter how old I am. Doesn't matter how rich I think I am. You know, if you preached the paint off the wall last Sunday, or if you did a Bible study class and everybody said, "Woo!" next week, go again. And again, and again, and again, because the rest of your life, you need to be hitting those check marks. So in Romans 6, everybody in Romans 6? Everybody there? Okay. We're going to read a couple of verses. We'll start at verse 20. Verse 20 says, in those days when you were slaves of sin, you weren't concerned with doing what was right. Let's be honest. We've all had those days when we didn't care. Now, we have some young people that have been in our church since they were babies. And we pretty much are rather confident that if we stay the course, they're going to probably have a much better spiritual entrance into understanding than those of us who came when we were in our 20s or 30s. Because, you know, there are still first generation Christians in the United States of America. Yeah, there are still first generation Christians who have had nobody in their family to really witness Christ until they went to the church. And they may be in their third. Some young people go off to colleges and universities or go in the military or whatever and meet a buddy who say, man, come on, go to church. Man, I don't go to church. Well, come on, go anyway. Especially if you know, like I know in the military, if you want to keep them mopping the latrine and clean it up, you'll go to church on Sunday. Yeah, because that's your way to get away from the drill sergeant. And so the reality is, when you say, I ain't never been a slave to sin, you're probably not telling the truth. Paul says to the church, listen, it's going to get different for you now. Because there was a time when you didn't care. You were caught up in sin, and it didn't matter. He said, none of this stuff mattered to you. Watch this. He said, listen, and what was the result? It was not good. Since now you are ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. Again, if indeed you are examining your life and you don't have some sense of, man, I was a bad person back then, you probably aren't growing very much. I'm not saying you got to walk around and get a therapist. I'm not saying you got to walk around and drag your feet and wet the soles of your shoes. But what I am saying is, when you look at your former life and look at your now life, you probably got some things that you can say, you know what? I wasn't the best person back then. How many of you have ever had a reunion with your classmates and can look back and say, man, back then I, and people say, boy, you done come a long way. You was a rascal back then. You, yeah, I know. But you're growing. How many of you ever had somebody say that to you? Man, you, well, I tell you what, boy, whatever you're doing, you keep doing. I'm proud of you. You know, an old folk can be brutally honest. Some of us got them old folks say, I'd have thought you'd be dead by now. You'd have kept going the way you was going. Boy, I know they're going to bury you young. Look at you now. Got a wife and children. They go down the whole list. That's your little family right there. Well, I mean, boy, your daddy. Hey, don't talk to my children. No. Your daddy, you know. And the reality is, that's what he's saying. He said, you know, if we look at our former life and look at, again, let a man or a woman examine himself daily, we'd have to say, okay, you know what? Whew, thank God for Jesus. And then it goes back again, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of that. That gospel changed my life. See, watch what he goes on to say. He said, now, but, verse 22, this we went central point, but now, you are free from the power of sin. That's in the positive. That's in the positive. Listen, it doesn't say you're not struggling, but you're free from it. Whom the Lord has set is indeed. Nudge your neighbor and say, that's good news. Amen. He said, but now, present tense you. He said, you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that, here it is, leads to holiness and result in eternal life. That's why I'm telling you that for the rest of your life, you gotta keep growing in holiness because the results are not in yet. If you are still on this side of the dirt, the results are not in yet. We won't know about eternal life until the dead in Christ shall rise. And then that remains shall be caught up. We don't know. We don't know who's going to heaven. We can't look at folk and go, oh, you got heaven. You might have it on your agenda, but it may not be your ultimate destination. A whole lot of us are going to say, I meant to. I intended to. I thought I would. But he said, listen, until the results come in, spend the rest of your life growing in holiness. You know how you grow? You work at it. Amen. Again, don't let Sunday be the only investment you make in your life in holiness. That would become drudgery. Oh, well, I got to go to church Sunday. What are you doing tomorrow, man? I got to go to church. Sound like you ain't too happy. I want Pastor Barley, man. I might as well go and get it over with. That ain't growing. There's no joy in that. I love church. I love going to church. I love church. I was down home last week. My buddy called me and said, man, I know you're here. I said, how you know me? Because it's Daytona time. I said, kind of, sort of, but it's some other thing. I know you're going to preach for me. No, I'm not going to preach for you. Another friend called, man. So I had all these choices. But, you know, I love church. I'm not going to miss church. I love it. Bible study. I called my buddy. I said, what you doing? He said, man, we do. I said, I'm going to come by and check y'all out. See what you're doing. Maybe you're doing something. I can figure out something. See what you got. You know, got over to the church. The parking lot was full. There was nowhere to park. I said, man, I would love to go to church on Sunday. Then got in the building, people everywhere. I said, whoa, this is wow. It was raining hard. Pouring down, as we say down home. Before I went to church. I said to myself, you know what? That's the community of believers. He said, you know what? You got to keep growing. One of the things that we have to do in order to grow is be honest. You are not what you used to be. Even if this is your first week in Christianity, you're 1 week better than you were last week. This your first day, you're 1 day better than you were yesterday. But he said, now, you've got to make sure. Now, pay attention to the language, and it's critical. This is the New Living Translation Bible, but it's the same language. He said, you must now do those things that do what? Lead to holiness. In other words, make every effort. Make every effort. In other words, yes, I need to go to Bible training. I do need to daily meditate. I need to read my Bible. Again, we've had it up here forever. If you just discipline your life with biblical principle, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to at least consider, how much time do you spend just reading the Word of God personally? Just sit down and take the Bible. You know, listen, technology is so beautiful. You people with these smartphones and tablets, how many of y'all have a tablet, iPad, such and such? Yeah, those things are, you can load them up with Bible. I think my iPad, I don't have an iPad, I have a Samsung. My tablet has, I think, 9 different Bibles in it. Oh, it's right here in front of me. I mean, I can go to, there's no reason not to read a Bible. I mean, I got a catalog of Bibles. CE, NIV, NLT, RSV, NKJV, I got all of them. I read all of them. And I put them side by side because I got the cute little fancy version where you can put them in panels. And I read, I said, wow, that is interesting. And one word sometimes turns everything. You know, God ain't mad because we got all these Bibles. God is so happy we got all these Bibles. He said, man, they reading about me in their understanding. Because, you know, that the Torah, most of y'all ain't probably never looked at a Torah, but it talks about God. And they read it. They unroll it and they read that way. But it's God said they're reading about me. And synagogues and temples all over the world where he's lifted up, he's happy. So we need to read. And you got your smartphone and you can write. And how many of you have the kind that are talk to you? I got several in here that are talk to me. I ain't got to say nothing. I just turn it on. And they always got these Charlton Heston people reading. And you know what I do? Sometimes, to be smart, I let them read it so they can say the hard words. Yeah. When you read and you get to that hard word, you skip it. So you say, no. So hit the sound version. You do know there's sound versions now. and let that guy read, and you say, wow. And then replay that again. And sometimes having somebody read to you is quite enriching. It's kind of like having your own valet. Read to me, Charlton Heston. And he started reading. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. And he started reading. You go, yes. Read that again to me, Charlton Heston. And it's enriching. And he says, now you've got to do it. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever lie to yourself that you don't know what you need to do to help you. If anybody's going to help you, it's going to be you. When you're honest and say, I need more biblical principle. I need to learn how to love my wife. I need to learn how to bring up my children. I need to learn how to get along with my brother. There's biblical principle for that stuff. And every one of us are not in the same place. Even though we live in the same house, we may ride in the same car, we may be on the same committee, we're not in the same place as it relates to our growth. So I got to do something maybe you don't have to do. Maybe there's something you're wrestling with that I've already overcome, but I can help you. That's why the Bible says what? Care ye one for the other. And if we're honest enough and truly love one another, we can say, listen, let me help you. Without putting people's business in the street. He said, you got to do the things that you need to do now. And we're sitting around sometime, and we're great procrastinators. How many of you have a procrastination spirit? I'll wait on the rest of y'all to raise your hand. Everybody does it. I get it later. I'll read that later. And he says, you got to do it now. What hurts the church as much as anything is that we keep putting off what we need to be putting on. We need to get it. What does Jesus say about it? You got to work while you have the light of day. Because darkness, how many of you know darkness is coming? It ain't going to be long either, is it? Ain't going to be long. When you got people driving out in the woods, killing babies, it ain't going to be long. When we have the gay community daring us to not accept what we don't want to accept, it ain't going to be long. When we have what we have, people trying to, you have countries invading countries. You got wars all. Listen, there's so many wars going on now that you can't keep up with them on ABC News at night. We done gone from Iraq to Afghanistan to Ukraine to countries we ain't never know existed. They mention countries now. And I'm saying, well, when they made that one? Uzbekistan and Karakistan and Karazi and... I never heard of Benghazi in my life. How many of y'all had heard of Benghazi before the fire? Put your hand down. What is Benghazi? I thought that was like a place you get ice cream or something. That's Ben and Jerry's. Okay. Very good. So the next thing he says, you got to make sure we do it. Now watch this. He says in verse 23, everybody knows it, or at least we've heard of it. And here's the reality of it. For the wages of sin is death. Here's Romans 16 kind of tied in. But the free gift of God is eternal life through. Now, remember I told you earlier, the guy talking about everybody's excited about. No, they're not. But we are. Because we know that the life that we are presently living is all because of Jesus. All to him, my perfect Savior. All to him, my blessed Savior. All to him, my whatever you want to put it there, put it there. But it's because whom the Lord has set free. It's free indeed. And I recognize that it was Jesus. It wasn't my grandmother. It wasn't my auntie. It wasn't my bishop, my overseer. It was Jesus. So he says, I'm going to keep growing then. I'm going to make it my business to make sure I'm growing. Now, watch this. Stay with me, Romans 7, go to verse 4. He says, so here's the point. Tell your neighbor, this is the point. No, don't be ashamed. Tell him, here's the point. Let me tell you something. What we must do is make the point. How many of you ever told somebody, listen, just cut to the chase? Listen, don't waste my time. I won't waste yours. What you trying to say? Here's what he said. He said, here's the point. Y'all ready? Everybody in Romans 7, verse 4? The law no longer holds you in its power because you died to its power when you died with Christ. Now, let me tell you something. You have to pick your death date. I'm convinced, reverends, preachers, ministers, and not everybody's died with Christ. I think some folk scared to do it. I really do. I think we don't mind churching. We church like nobody can church. We look like a church. We sound like a church. We dress for church. But I think that we really need to find some death certificates. We need to realize now that unless we have died with Christ, ain't none of it going to work. Ain't none. Let me tell you something. You will know the tree by the fruit that it bears. Now, I told you earlier that if we're going to be able to judge or determine some sense of is this salvation, we need to see some fruit. And fruit ain't like fruit that we talking about in Walmart, Kroger. We're talking about holiness. We're talking about a redemptive evidence. Jesus says, my sheep know me. They look like me. John gives you the final results. Again, the results are not quite in, but John said, listen, we do know this, that when he appears, we're going to look like him. Remember what I told you? Your life is not only a mirror, but it's a light. How many of you have ever been told you have the likeness of someone else? Oh, you look just like your aunt so-and-so. You know, one of my dad's great aunts went down to the family reunion years ago. And my dad and I, you know, we came out, we got out the car, and we were walking. And one of these old ladies, I mean, she was real old. Her and again, this is old, and y'all ain't from the South. Her name was Essie Lee. That's old. That's her name, Essie Lee. And they, you know, she was like, oh, and me and my dad, she said, Lord, look at that. If that ain't Hank walking up here, now I don't know who Hank is. And first of all, I thought she wasn't talking to me, so I kept on. She said, come here, boy. And you know, old folk can say that to you. And you just certainly go, yes, ma'am. And I didn't know she was talking to me. She said, hey, you there, child. And so my dad said, I think she's talking to you. So I said, me? She said, come here, baby. And I said, you too, come here. So my daddy came. She said, Lord, y'all got to be Hank people. So me and my daddy looked at each other. You know, you get that smile. You don't want to say, who is Hank? Or in reality, who the hell is Hank? So I said, ma'am, who is Hank? She said, you got to be Hank's boy. She's pointing at my daddy. So my daddy said, my daddy died when I was 2 years old. She said, well, you Hank boy. She said, y'all ain't the spitting image of Hank. So then my Aunt Barbara comes along. She said, yeah, that's Hank's boy. She said, I thought Hank had come back alive. I said, Barbara. But, you know, people tell us we're the image of, you know, so everybody's had that happen to you one time in the sun. You look just like, and especially people you've never seen. And I had never seen my dad's dad. I never had. So they went in the house and got these pictures. My dad had never seen his dad. Not in a good picture. He had an old, you know, them old pictures that then turned kind of gray, you know. And the lady went in and got a pretty decent picture of him. And I'd be darned if we didn't all look like three brothers. My dad got kind of a little choked up. You know, my dad was always one of them tough guys. You know, he don't ever. And he looked at the picture and he stood there and held on to it. I tried to hold. You know how you try to get somebody to do the old snatch back? I'm looking at this, thank you. I said, well, I want to see it. You can see it in a minute. But I mean, you know, you bear a likeness. Here's the question. Do you look like him? That's what the word says. If you die with him, you'll get up with him. Yeah, at least a family resemblance. Listen, the word of God is absolute. He said, listen, you have died to the power of sin when you died with Christ. Here might be your struggle. You cannot overcome the power of sin without the power of Christ. What are you saying, Pastor? You can't do it on your own. All the churching in the world ain't going to do it for you. You can get in all the choirs you want to get in. You can do all the preaching you want to do. But if you don't meet this standard, again, it's about biblical principles. It's about doing the thing God's way. He said, if you get this part, watch this. I love it. He said, and now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. Jesus said that also in the Gospel of John. He said, listen, the Father and I are one. Come on, be one with us. How many of y'all have been invited to something and felt honored to be invited and said, I'm not going to pass this up. This is an opportunity. You know, somebody said, if you ever get invited to the White House, you can't turn that down. You know, a couple of years ago, one of the Baltimore Ravens who didn't like President Obama, you know, when the Super Bowl team goes to the White House and all that, I'm not going. And somebody said, are you crazy? You have an invitation to the White House. Nobody turns down an invitation to the White House. It's kind of like this right here. You've been invited to be one with God, and you're going to let that pass? No way. No way. He said, you have now been united. Now means what? Now. Don't you let nobody fool you. You are the redeemed of the Lord. Right now. You may not have finished the course yet, but you're there. He said, you are. Now watch this, and I'm going to be done. It's right at, oh, my time flies by. He said, this is beautiful. As a result, okay, you can produce good fruit. What? That's what he says. That's why one of the easiest things we can do to identify salvation is to look for fruit. Because why? He said that's one of the things that should be happening. He said, and good deeds, which goes to the last point we're going to make further down in the study, this good works thing. We should be busying ourselves glorifying God through ministry. Any way we can do it, God, that'll get you some glory, we're happy to do it. If it means feeding the hungry, clothing, if it means the widows and orphans, if it means bedside ministry, whatever we can do, God, it's unto your glory. He said, listen, when you start producing good fruit, he said, that's good deeds for God. Nudge your neighbor, tell him, it's not about you. If you haven't done anything in the last 24 hours to glorify God, you wasted 24 hours. Hey. And it ain't got to be nothing off the chain. If you just looked at your wife and said, I love you, God bless you. If you blessed your children, if you had morning devotions, if you just gave a lift or did a kind deed, that God be glorified. If you just lifted someone out of their chair, if you made room for somebody else. I mean, it's simple. You know, we try to complicate ministry so we don't have to do it. Really? We complicate things. Oh, that's going to mean I got to do this. No, it doesn't. You know what the Bible says? Do unto others like you want it done unto you. If you're thinking not robbery to make sure someone gets a cool glass of water, I bet you somebody gonna give you a cool glass of water. If you're thinking not robbery to witness, because somebody witnessed to you, you know, somebody helped you, you can help somebody. He said, you know what? You should be doing producing. Produce. If you don't have a living legacy in your life right here, right now, you've wasted a lot of good time. Every one of us. You don't have to be a deacon or a trustee or a minister. Just be you. So he said, now, in light of the fact that you are in holiness, this is what we should be looking for. And watch this. And we'll be done. He said, when we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produce sinful deeds resulting in death. But now we've been released from law. For we died with Christ. There it is again. And we are no longer captive to its power. How many of you have ever broke away from somebody and had to let them know, you ain't got no power over me? That's what Anna Mae Bullock did. Y'all know Anna Mae Bullock. She let Ike know, oh no, you ain't got no power over me. She said, I'm moving on. And the reality for most of us is, let me tell you something right now, shocking it may be, but I'm going to say it and we'll be done till next week. You don't want to go. If you haven't left the grip of sin, it's because you don't want to go. The Bible says he died that all would be set free. Anybody that's still captive in sin don't want to go. Y'all getting quiet. Y'all looking at your shoes, looking around the room, still talking to you. Anybody. Listen, the Bible says whom the Lord has set free. Okay. The Bible says he's no respecter of person. The Bible says I came to let the captives free. That's everybody. It ain't just for preachers. It ain't just for deacons. It ain't anybody that want to be free can be free. And once free, you'll be free forever. You know why? Because the Bible says sin no longer has power over you. I've heard people say, I tried the church thing. Nobody asked you to try church. We asked you to try Christ. You got the message mixed up. You should have been trying Christ. I done been to 60 different churches. Go to Jesus. Y'all looking at me funny. The truth will make you free. This ain't no snake oil. You ain't going to dance. Some of us just can't walk. Shoot, our ankles and knees bad. But you know what he says? You know what he says? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Listen, church can be confusing depending on where you're at. How many of y'all have been in a different denomination church? AME, RZUA, Catholics, Pentecostal. You know, they got all kinds of brands out there. And everywhere you go, it's a little bit different. Can I recommend something to you? Leave them denominations alone and go to Jesus. Trust in the Lord. Everybody is free who want to be free. That's God. And then he says, you don't have control over you like that anymore. It is crazy, bless you, sir, to think that you don't qualify. And you do. Every one of you do. Amen? All right, we'll stop there. Let me mark my paper and we'll come back next week if you don't mind. Thank you. I appreciate that. If I can mark my paper. Some of y'all is very particular about my paper being marked properly. It's March already. Can you believe that? It was just January. February just blew by. Didn't stay with us no time. Must not have enjoyed our hospitality. Amen.